Hey, everybody, it's Tim Miller from The Bulwark here, and I've got a different trio for you. You know, this is going to be more of a chaste trio. The Shocker is not going to be involved, no potatoes, but we are going to talk about what's happening, maybe not that chaste, in the nether regions of the right while Sam is on vacation or something. That's JVL. He writes the Triad newsletter. It's been amazing this week. That's Will Summer. You know him. He writes False Flag newsletter. Go sign up for those at thebulwark.com. We got two stories. I guess we'll start with Will's newsletter. We'll leave the candy for everybody at the end. We will get to the Wall Street Journal story about stank breath Corey Lewandowski and Kristi Noem. It is a doozy. So do stick around for that. But first, Will, your false flag is about the latest developments in the Candace and Erica saga, the Real Housewives of Tucson. And just wondering, why don't you give us a little update and me and JVL could react.
Yeah, I mean, Phoenix, you know, I wish it was Tucson. I think a much nicer place. So this is about how obviously Candace has been on, you know, 4 months now, this kind of implication that Erica, Turning Point USA, was involved in Charlie Kirk's murder. And now I think we hit an interesting point where we're starting to see that perhaps people within Turning Point itself are starting to believe this craziness. They've been on a purge of employees. They've fired some amount of employees. It's a little unclear how many. I think part of it is because people are clearly leaking to Candace. But then one woman got fired and she said, you know what? I was fired because I started talking to people and saying, I don't know, you think they were involved in murdering Charlie Kirk?
I just have a gut feeling that I was terminated from Turning Point because I am questioning the narrative of what happened to my role model and CEO, Charlie Kirk, on the day of his assassination.
So she's suggesting this is part of some cover-up. To me, it's relatively reasonable to fire someone talking about that, but that's where we are.
I assume these people have not been watching the trio videos. There's this Turning Point staffers, so people that worked for Charlie Kirk, that believed in the mission. He gets assassinated by somebody who's been arrested and is going to trial, and there's a significant amount of evidence.
They're not convinced of that.
Yeah. And by the way, a motive that you would think would even appeal to them in some ways, I mean, we still need to learn a little bit more, but like the idea that this is kind of related to the trans roommate and upset about Charlie's anti-trans advocacy. So that story is too pat for them. And the people inside Turning Point USA are looking at Candace, suggest maybe it was the French Legionnaires, maybe the Jews, maybe Erica herself. And the staff is going, I'm intrigued. Candace has a point. What does that tell us, do you think, JVL, about the types of people that are working at these organizations?
I can't believe you're surprised. If I was assassinated,
do you think there'd be a single Bulwark person that would believe that it was the Mossad?
I don't, but the Bulwark does not select for people who commit to believing in conspiracy theories as a matter of entry, right? And to become part of Turning Point USA, you have to at the least believe the 2020 election was stolen.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. You have to believe that. Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, and I can promise you that there are not a lot of people there who only believe in one conspiracy theory, because that's not how it works. Right. Yeah. I mean, nobody collects. Conspiracy theories are like watches. Nobody has one of them. And
yeah. Sometimes people on the right criticize progressives, but with this term they use, like they call it the omni-cause, which is like there's a certain type of progressive that posts online. And it's like if you're upset about one social justice thing, you're upset about all of them. This is like the inverse of that. It's like the omni-conspiracy. Like if you believe the 2020 election is stolen, you probably also are susceptible to these other conspiracies.
Yeah. So why? Yeah. I mean, if you're there, why? Why wouldn't some percentage of those people think that, well, there must be some hidden knowledge, some horrible hidden forces at work here? I loved the story that you recounted, Will, about how that one staffer was fired because somebody else was in an Uber and talking to the Uber driver. And can you? So I don't mangle the details.
This is a weird one. I mean, and a lot of this, of course, is kind of coming out through Candace Owens and through the staffer, a woman named Aubrey Leach, who is a communication staffer there. And she claims that she was called into a meeting, and she was like, I think been there for 5 or 6 years. And they call her into a meeting in January, and they say, we got to talk to you about this Uber ride. She says, what are you talking about? And they claim that a Turning Point executive took an Uber, and the Uber guy said, what are you doing for work? And he said, I work at Turning Point. You know, what do you think of Turning Point? And the driver said, well, I hear everyone at Turning Point hates Erica. The organization's in chaos. And I heard this from from my daughter, who heard about it from her high school friend, a woman named Aubrey Leitch. And so suddenly they put these pieces together and they say, we got to fire Aubrey.
And the driver proceeded to tell the Turning Point executive, well, it's just really sad. I've heard the organization's really going downhill. There's not really a direction and nobody likes Erica. And the Turning Point executive proceeded to ask this Uber driver, well, who told you that?
So I think on one hand, it has like a weird witch hunt feeling to it. Like if I...
Does that sound plausible to you, Will? Is that a plausible story?
It seems a little pretextual. I mean, that's what she thought was sort of they wanted to get rid of her. And so they invented this Uber story. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I'm right, Tim. Am I a crazy person to be like, oh, really? What are the odds? Right. What are the odds that this? I'm sorry. Right. It just sounds like they're doing a mole hunt or a witch hunt through there. And I do wonder, not a lawyer, not legal advice, but are these things wrongful termination exposures for TPUSA? I mean, we do have free speech in this country. And if people want to say that they don't like their boss privately to their high school friends, or want to say that maybe their boss had their previous boss murdered privately to their friends, I mean, that's protected speech. I don't think you should lose your job for that.
I don't think I'm going to go there with you.
That's
on
cancel
that one,
culture,
JBL.
Will. It's cancel well, you know, culture.
There, there has been a bit of irony culture. Here. Which is that all of these Turning Point people are now saying, like, you know, basically they're wishing they had union protections. Because this woman's saying, you know, you can't just fire me, you know, at will. You can't fire me for no reason. You know, this is an organization that I don't think is generally very pro labor protections. But now they're wishing, you know, because they're being called in with these just weird, you know, there was a recording put out of someone else being fired where they just say, you know, pack up your stuff, you're out of here. And this person's like, can you even give me an explanation? You're not even going to give me the dignity of an Uber story. And they say, you know, no, get out of here. And so, I mean, it's very bizarre. I do think there is kind of a purge quality to it. And again, people have been leaking to Candace. They're leaking all these videos. So it seems like there, as you said, is a mole hunt afoot as well.
There's another thing. There's this what goes around comes around element to this. Like in addition to having to be a 2020 conspiracy theorist, being the kind of anti for working there to begin with. They at TPUSA, they cultivated these types of theories also even in the podcast space. And we're doing kind of a light version of Candace. Well, maybe you remember the name. I forget if it was like if it was just one episode of the Charlie Kirk show, or if it was a spinoff show. It was like a round table. It was like their version of the trio, but from Crazy Town. It was like Andrew Colvett was in it, a couple of the other guys, and they would like bounce around different theories.
Says I wouldn't get on an airplane if the pilot was a black woman.
Yes,
is that
yes.
the episode?
Yes,
yeah, that was Charlie Kirk. He said, yeah, he would be nervous essentially.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and you know, I was mocking them for one of these shows. You know, one of the TPUSA people that I'd met over the years going to AmFest, like, messaged me and was like, no, this is just the show where we kind of, you know, explore things that are, you know, explore speech and ideas that are rejected by the mainstream. And so, you know, some of the things.
Same, brother.
True. And I was just like, okay. Well, so, I mean, you basically had a show that was like an incubator of what the Candace show is, and this is where that stuff leads, accusing Erica of being complicit in her husband's murder.
You know, I mean, to that point, I mean, they have Tucker Carlson still, you know, as of 2 months ago, you know, he's getting into all these conspiracy theories, and they have Jack Posobiec, like Mr. Pizzagate, the guy who helped unleash this gunman on Comet Ping Pong, is now kind of the face of Turning Point. I mean, he introduced the Super Bowl halftime show for them.
I will say this, while we're debunking conspiracy theories, there are some lefty conspiracy theories as well when it comes to the Kirk killing, and all over my feeds, I don't know about you guys this week, was people going after Erica because in the background of the video where I have the Pinto beans, Charlie had a family photo and that had been taken away and there's something else there. And like everybody was really jumping on this as evidence that like whatever, she didn't love him. And who knows, maybe even she knocked him off. And I do just want to say like the response, unlike the Uber story, seems very plausible, which was that the daughter wanted to be able to grab it and it was on too high of a shelf. And I do think that's fine. And I think people should, you know, feel bad about yourself if that's really what you're leaning in on at this point. JVL, do you disagree with that?
I don't disagree. I was just saying that it would bring me an unbelievable amount of psychic satisfaction if it turned out that like the shooter had done a month of training with the French Foreign Legion or something like that. It would be the funniest timeline would be where some version of one of Candace's conspiracy theories turns out to be a quarter true. And I don't think it is. I'm just saying that we live in a world that is full of insane things happening. Mm. And that insane thing would actually bring me a little bit of joy.
I don't think that's going to turn out to be fun.
I think that's
we've got a pretty cut and dry story here with the murder. Yeah. Okay. The other part of False Flag, we covered a little bit last week. It is nice to give people a little update. Our friends Elijah Schaefer and Sarah Stock, the trad husband, the trad husband cheating. The trad wife was involved in the cheating. And he's done, I think, the most respectable thing you can do in this situation, which is full heel turn. I'm the bad boy now. I've got a dick. What of it? And yes. I actually kind of respect that. I mean, this is a bad person spreading lots of noxious information into our society, and these has a pernicious effect on, you know, the public. But I respect just being like, what of it? I like to fuck better than, you know, pretending to be pious, trying to continue on with the show.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly kind of, you know, he initially was sort of this bad boy character around 2020, going to these riots. He's clearly partying a lot, accused of other affairs. And then he said, you know, I'm a Christian guy now. I'm Greek Orthodox, I think. I'm having this big, I'm all about my family. And then this new affair comes out. And so I'm wondering, you know, what's he going to do? And what he does is he says, as you said, you know, this is basically verbatim. He says, yeah, I've got a dick and it works. Stop crying about it. So, you know, it seems like he's back to his bad boy persona. Will it work? You know, perhaps not.
JBL, you know the trad cats. How do you think that heel turn spin lands?
He's got the Kevorka. So here's my question. I have a question for Will. Okay. Is there any way to gauge how his audience is reacting to this? Because that's what interests me most.
Well, I think in a way the challenge is that as he kind of enters this tailspin of his life, he's not really broadcasting, at least he hasn't since the affair. So it's hard to like really judge it. I do think he might bounce back. His former co-host at The Blaze, who sued them over his alleged sexual harassment of her, she said, you know, I can see he's trying to creep back and, you know, I'm going to stop him from creeping back. I mean, I just feel like the attitude, you know, we write about clavicular, we write about, you know, these really misogynistic dating podcast sometimes. I just feel like there is like a real market for just like woman hating guy on the right in a sort of very contemporary mold. Like I'm going to hit the club and I'm going to slay and all this stuff. So, I mean, if he gets into that, he's already in Florida. I think it could work.
Look, I'm just asking questions. I'm not making a definitive statement here. This is for both of you. Do you, either of you gentlemen, get the sense that there might be some overlap in worldview between the woman-hating trad guys and the smash pickup artist bro types who are also woman-hating? Do you then? They seem to express it a little bit differently, but maybe a similar outlook on.
I mean, totally the same. Totally the same.
Yeah.
I mean, like Cernovich came out of this world, the gorilla mindset. I just think that, like, that pickup artist world that is secular. I mean, I guess the difference is basically
the trad husband world.
The trad husbands.
Same.
Yeah, they don't do the pictures at the club, I guess is the main difference.
They don't like women, is the thing.
Yeah, they don't like women.
They don't like women. And some of them, I think, that's really like guys.
A couple of them.
As it goes out. Yes, sometimes. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, you can see, you know, Elijah Schaefer made such a big deal about how his wife didn't have a job. She was at home. Meanwhile, what was he up to? He was allegedly creeping around. At the same time, clavicular, the looks maxer, was talking to a woman who I felt would seem perfect for him, like a future wife for Mrs. Clavicular. And she said, you know, I'm in college to be a psychologist or something. And he was like, hold up. You want to have a job at like 23? No way. I don't like women in the workforce. So I think that, you know, plenty of similarities there.
I have one more question. Tim, what give me the odds that 5 years from now Clavicular is out gay?
I think he's pretty clearly an autistic homosexual or bisexual. I mean, they're all bisexual these days. And I think that's
like, kind of what I was picking up on, but wasn't sure.
I think he's a slightly autistic bisexual to homosexual. I feel pretty confident about that.
Will, any thoughts?
I thought you were going to say 5 years that he's alive. I mean, his steroid regimen and the drug regimen. I mean, it's not good. And for that, now the guns are involved. So, I mean, I would say not ideal.
Yeah, my buddy was comparing clavicular to Lynn Sanity the other day, and I do think it'll have a similar arc So I guess Jeremy's still around. I want to talk about this Wall Street Journal story. It is about Kristi Noem and her lover, alleged lover, Corey.
Her senior staffer.
Senior staffer. you know, this has been the worst kept secret in the world, something everybody's been talking about for a long time. Apparently, some people on the inside of the White House decided to try to snuff them out, smoke them out a little bit, maybe get the big guys' attention because they're none too happy with Corey and Kristi. Just a few of the details here I just want to start with. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Lewandowski and Noem, who are both married, have publicly denied the reports of the affair, but people say they do little to hide their relationship inside the department. It includes being caught, I guess they lived across the street from each other for a while. Mm-hmm. He'd be seen walking across the street, and now she lives in government housing where he spends a lot of time. Coast Guard incident, pilot incident, which I want to get to in a second. So let's just actually start with the Lewandowski of it all first. I don't know. I mean, Kristi Noem's new face isn't for me. I would defer to you two as heterosexual men. Well, it seems like she could do better than Corey Lewandowski. That is the thing that's hard for me to understand. Like, why is that weasel-faced just freak show able to wield this kind of power with Kristi Noem, do you think?
Will?
They say women like confidence, right? And he has a certain intensity to him.
But he bragged about a murder. He once said that he murdered somebody when he was doing his pickup artist routine at a Benihana.
That's crazy. I mean, he seems to have this kind of hold over her where, I mean, you know, I think in the past, based on this article, it certainly seems like people would love for her to throw him overboard. But it's also sort of seemed like maybe he's the last thing keeping her in office or, you know, in this role because Trump liked Corey. So firing her is sort of effectively firing Corey.
It's really something. Among the things that Corey has done, he tried to get a gun. He tried to get issued to be an official law enforcement. ICE, the head of ICE, denied that request. That person then got demoted to FEMA. And then there was a lot of other pressure in order for him to get a gun. Seems like he never got the gun, but he did get a badge. He does have a badge that he wears now. I think the most notable incident in the journal story is related to the flying. Kind of similar to Will's great piece about Kash Patel's use of government planes. Kristi Noem and Corey have acquired like a $70 million jet that they're flying around on together.
Luxury
jet. And in one incident, Lewandowski fired a U.S. Coast Guard pilot because they had, I guess, traveled, you know, from one location to the other, gotten there. They needed to change planes. They got onto the second plane, and Noem did not have her blankie. She has a blankie she likes to bring with her everywhere, and they had not transferred the blankie. So in a fit of roid rage, Lewandowski fired the Coast Guard pilot. They came to find out there's no other pilots available, so he had to rehire the pilot so that the pilot could get them home. So that's what's happening in our Department of Homeland Security.
You know, I think that's the toughest job in the administration is having anything to do with this private jet travel. I mean, as you mentioned, Cash, I mean, he fired the head of the FBI's jet program because he didn't do a good enough job covering up the trip to the girlfriend's wrestling show performance. The other thing about the jet is, you know, and you can kind of read between the lines here in this kind of Wall Street Journal tone, and they say the $70 million jet, which has its own private cabin in the back, you know, just for the secretary. You know, I mean, there's kind of some implication going on there.
Mile High Club.
So we think they're doing Mile High. That's what we're doing. The Secretary of Homeland Security is doing Mile High Club with Lil Dicky, Corey Lewandowski. That's happening right now? On our taxpayer-funded jet?
Well, I mean, this jet is, as the DHS spokeswoman tells the Journal, the plane is used both for cabinet-level travel and deportations. Come on now. Like, I mean, there's a level of DHS or comms speak, right, at which, you know, you say things which are insulting to the person you're responding to. But to say, yes, this is a luxury jet that we use to transport our VIPs and also to deport people in. No, you don't. You are not deporting people in Noem's private jet. Like, this is, but there's no accountability. My favorite part in all this is Lewandowski. So Lewandowski is under one of these special advisor roles where he has 130 days. And in order to avoid this, I'm just going to read from the journal. Lewandowski was avoiding swiping into the building to stay under his service limit, according to department officials.
So he was doing like the thing where like you, you know, if you don't have any
hold
money.
That door.
Yeah. Or your car comes up to the, you know, you have the parking ticket, but you lost your parking ticket. And so you just follow the person in front of you underneath the gate there. That's what he was doing to get into the Department of Homeland Security.
I don't know why this bothers me so much, but it really does, because we do have a bunch of baseline rules for conduct.
Yeah.
And the baseline, I mean, the real baseline is stuff about like this, like, are you a real employee of the government or not? And then we have this special carve out if you have to bring in outside experts. So for the reason this carve out exists is because let's say you are in the Air Force and you need a cryptographer to come in and help work on like some quantum computing project that your version of DARPA is working on. You don't want to hire somebody for real, but you can go in and bring in somebody from IBM to work on it for you for 130 days. These are rules which are codified as laws in order to make sure that we understand who is actually working for the government. They are using that not for the intended purpose, but they've perverted the purpose to be able to hire Corey Lewandowski, who was not allowed to be her chief of staff. He wanted to be her chief of staff and Trump wouldn't allow it. Which, by the way, amazing that the cabinet secretaries aren't allowed to pick their own chiefs of staff. But then not only are perverting the purpose of it, but Lewandowski then won't even do the baseline things which exist to achieve accountability on these things, like, for instance, badge access. And I know it's the smallest thing in the world, but the fact that this is happening and nobody is doing anything about it is to me like the Hatch Act, right? Yeah. It's this thing.
Shorter JBL. This isn't NOM. There are rules.
Yes. Yes.
There are rules.
We live in a society.
Christine
Tim, we're living in a society.
Christine also frequently berated staff. If she saw Tom Homan on TV, she kept track of both of their appearances to make sure she was on TV more than him. Because people are dying for more Christy Dome face on their TV.
Staff were also told not to use the word ice in any public messaging about the winter storm because they didn't want any connection to the increasingly unpopular immigration operation in Minnesota, FEMA staff said. Dangerous frozen water coming from this storm, says FEMA.
I want to go back to the fact that Christy Dome has been charmed by Corey Lewandowski's stinky advances. The aforementioned, well, you remember the Benihana story. You know, Corey's drunk at the Benihana. It's an addiction awareness fundraiser. He's flirting with a married woman, not Christy Nome, but Christy Nome's in the room. Christy Nome's texting him under the table, telling him to behave. It's kind of strange behavior at the time. I pulled this story back up because I couldn't remember exactly the details of what it was. The woman's name, unfortunately, it was Trashelle Odom. And Trashelle was upset that Corey was coming on to her because she, you know, is an actual trad wife. She recounted this. Lewandowski began to come on to me aggressively. He said that he worked out twice a day, runs 400 miles a week. Some quick math says that'd be two marathons a day. So I don't think that's true. And can last 8 hours at a time in the sack. 8 hours at a time in the sack. I mean, can you imagine Corey going at you for a full 8 hour shift? Just breathing on your face. That's what's happening. That's what Christy Nome has signed up for, apparently. And that was after he told her that maybe he killed somebody. So that's the special. That's the person that we're just allowing to break the rules, fire people, influence the deportation regime that is lawless. Like, that is the key player, Corey Lewandowski, with his fake badge fucking the secretary. I have a surprise for you guys. Unless you have any thoughts for that before I close with a surprise.
Yeah, just one. But no, Will, you go
please first. Why don't you both go? Both go, and then we'll stick around for the surprise.
Yeah, I'll just say, I mean, I think there's also like this potential like corruption angle that the journal points to, where Christy Nome, she has to approve every expenditure over $100,000. Yeah. DHS is flush with money now. And Corey, because he's a special government employee, hasn't divested his business interests. And so what's going on there? Is he directing the money? We don't know.
Thank you. This is actually really important. I care about Prurient Matters, you know, so sometimes I get a little too focused on that.
Who among us?
There is the corruption element here is like another big part of this. I mean, and this is happening throughout the government. I mean, Trisha McLaughlin, the spokesperson's husband's company, our company is invested in, got a big contract. I mean, like the scale of the, like any like story like this has like a little corruption subplot. And like the scale of the corruption that's happening throughout this administration. It's going to boggle the mind. Like people are going to be investigators in future administrations are going to be digging through the receipts for years and be like, really?
We should be so lucky.
Yeah, we should be so lucky. That's true.
I would say the thing that is interesting to me is the extent to which Noam and Lewandowski are at war with their own department. Mm. And I don't just mean rank and file. So it is pretty obvious that sources for this include people close to Tom Homan. Yep. And people close to Rodney Scott. Rodney Scott is the head of the CPB, who they hate Loam and Lewandowski, but they can't fire because he's a Senate-confirmed appointee. And so only Trump can fire him. And so in this story is that they reassigned Scott's chief of staff and got his deputy to resign and then replaced both of those jobs with their people because they're just trying to make him quit.
This is a healthy workplace environment. Trump wouldn't let Christie pick her chief of staff. Christie won't let the head of CBP pick his chief of staff, because they want moles in each office, tattling on the boss.
Right. But this is why a story like this is able to get written. I do have just a question for you guys. What do you think does Christie Noam survive within the administration? And if so, for how long?
I mean, she's made it this long. Trump hates firing people. Like, that's the big, false element about the whole you're fired thing with The Apprentice. Trump doesn't actually like to fire people. He's a wimp. He doesn't like personal confrontation, to me, it's a question is like, it comes down to Stephen Miller,
Yeah.
And I think if you're Stephen Miller, you probably like that Noam and Lewandowski, can be tools that you can use
in fear of him.
Yeah. And they'll do anything. And they'll do fucking anything. Like you could tell them, we're gonna have a new new detention center in South Arizona where we make a certain class of Honduran migrants live like dogs and they'll have to be in a dog kennel and lick their food out of a bowl. And Christy Noam will be like, great idea, Stephen. I'll do that. You know what I mean? So
I want the two of you to do it at the Denny's next to the GW Parkway.
Yes, sir.
Go.
Yes, sir. I think that there would be if you're Miller, you're like, there'd be a risk that they leave and Trump, one of Trump's buddies tells him that he should put in place a business guy who, is more susceptible to bad press. So I think that's the best thing they got going for him. Now to the surprise. Everyone's waited this long. 29 minutes in. Corey Lewandowski in between. He's come in and out of Trump world. He was in a bad place. I think only Mr. Trump was talking to him after the Benihana incident. Because people around Trump were mad and they thought he was out of it. That was the second time that he was out. The first time he was out was after he, failed as a campaign manager. So, he's had many lives. In between those lives, he's always been on a grift. Some of that's been selling access to Trump. But he also took a brief period where he was a Cameo star. Do you guys know this?
Corey Lewandowski
was a star on Cameo. And there's one Cameo that he did that is legendary. And my friend text chain. And I'd like to play that for you guys.
Hey, this message is from Mickey. Mickey, your daddy, Papa Dickie, reached out to me and told me that you're toilet training. You must be a very special little boy. But I hear that you're starting to use the big boy toilet. So congratulations, and you're doing a great job with your poopies. Congratulations. I know your mom is going to be so happy for you. And I want to thank you in advance for being a Donald Trump supporter when you get older. All the best from your daddy, Papa Dickie.
I mean, that's an alpha male if I've ever seen one. It's a leader of men.
Wow. My 2-year-old just loves Corey Lewandowski. Can you record this video for him?
Did one of your buddies do that, Tim?
No. No, I wish. One of my buddies was just closely monitoring all of his cameos to look for the look for the gold nuggets. So there it is. Corey Lewandowski helping you with your poopies. Everybody, subscribe to the feed. You're only getting this shit here. All right. Nowhere else are you getting this type of material. Tell your friends, subscribe to the feed. That's Will Sommer and Jonathan Last. I'm Tim Miller. We'll see y'all soon. Take care of your poopies.